The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
That's why I say
shot. No shot. With Kappa and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say him and my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Kappa and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by...
Sorry, I was telling Shay something. It's brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that updated PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game, live parlays. Get your sides and your totals, your player props. It's just a lot of fun. Even when you don't win, boy, you throw 10 bucks down on a same game and Snorling and I locked in. I went to bed early because we had no shot. I made awful picks. Anyway, we say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. Cap, I also went to bed early because your same game was so bogus.
Yeah.
And that game was so bad.
Andy Dalton over 1.5 touchdowns. I'm an idiot.
Fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right. That means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Okay. Were you in the upper quartile of winners last night?
No.
Okay.
Good morning, Hoodie. How are you?
We're good,
morning,
man. Ready to go? We've got Dabber Brewer at 8:35.
That's
right.
Plenty.
And shout out to the UIC Flames. A nice victory for the Flames in game one. All right, go ahead.
All right, on Sunday, for the first time in his career, Justin Fields was arguably the best player in football. Fields has now put together three consecutive high-quality starts, and the national media has taken notice, heaping praise on Fields as the highest upside quarterback in the league, if you ask Rex Ryan. If you ask Emmanuel Acho, he's the most dangerous quarterback in football right now.
Savvy.
Shot or no shot, Justin Fields is now concretely the best quarterback from last year's draft class.
Wow. I'm going to say
no
shot.
No shot, Davis Mills?
No.
What are you going to say there?
I'm going to say that's a shot.
Oh, now, tell me why.
Because I've always believed in this kid, even when he made mistakes and we rightly pointed them out. He is developing. He's got to prove to me he can stand in the pocket, survey the landscape, and make throws. Because you cannot just run for 178 every week. It's not sustainable for years. A few weeks, yes. One season, maybe. Years, no. So he's got to prove it. But the other dudes in his draft class, Trey Lance, stop yourself. He hasn't proven anything. He's out.
So what do we say about Zach Wilson? Let's stop there. So it's a great question because the Jets are a winning team.
What about Trevor Lawrence? He's number one.
Let's don't do whataboutisms him yet. We'll go one at a time. Zach Wilson, what do you think of how he's played so far?
Their team's better, so he's playing decent football.
See, the same way that we look at Justin Fields, we should look at Lawrence and Wilson and at least those two and Davis Mills, right? We should just look at their development because, again, it's not the finished product as soon as you come out of the draft. So Zach Wilson, coming off the injury, coming into it, is he a little bit of the reason why the Jets are successful or not?
He's got to be. They have a good roster. We've talked about it ad nauseum. 14 number one draft picks, add 5 second round. You got 19. I mean, that's pretty freaking impressive what Joe Douglas has done there.
Mm-hmm.
And Gronk said the other day, boy, if you could get Zach Wilson out of the parent-teacher conferences and the meetings, because he was sleeping with his mom's best friend.
Oh, was that? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, you don't get to the record the Jets have without the quarterback having some role. Trevor Lawrence was the clear number one pick. And if I was picking one, I would have taken Trevor Lawrence.
So can I just say for Zach Wilson, the Jets won 3 consecutive games against the Dolphins, the Packers, and the Broncos. And in those 3 games, Zach Wilson had 0 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so they are doing things kind of in spite of him.
Well, hold on a second. If he leads you down the field and the running back runs it in, that's like pitcher wins.
He wasn't really doing that, though. 210 yards, 110 yards, 121 yards. Breece Hall was doing the heavy lifting.
Okay, so if not Zach Wilson, then Trevor Lawrence. Again, we have to see the development of this quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be a good quarterback in this league.
I do too.
But it's about talent and development, right? Same thing with Justin.
Correct.
So I would say that Justin's a flavor of the month for sure, based on the last three games we've seen.
Yes.
So I think that's fair, but I'm not going to tell you that Zach, even though I did not told you, I did not like Zach Wilson at two. I thought that was a reach. So I'm at BYU. I never thought he was the number two pick in the draft. I didn't think he deserved that spot. But I think that we have to wait for the development. But for right now, out of all the quarterbacks we see, it is Justin at this point in time. But again, that's a three-game sample, Cap.
Correct.
What was he before this?
Again, I've got to see the evolution where you go,
the Bears just did what?
They traded two number ones and they just got picked a star receiver.
They did what?
They just gave $110 million to that left tackle.
Okay, game on. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Shay.
All right, Cole Kmet spoke yesterday. We've talked a little bit about Luke Getsy and the play-calling acumen that Getsy has shown this season. Listen to this.
I think he's got a really good feel. Like, you can sometimes when you're in the huddle, you know, you get a play call, you're like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. Like, yeah, like, that's a great time to call this, you know, things like that. So, yeah, he's got a great feel for all that, and, like, I all the players are really believing in that. So, yeah, there's definitely a good feel to it that he has for us and how the game's flowing. Yeah, so that confidence has been building, and, you know, we've had it from the beginning, but it just continues to build as the week's been going on.
I would say when you average 30 points over three games and your offense comes out saying a lot of that is due to you having a good feel as a play caller, the proof is in the pudding. Shot or no shot, Luke Getsy has already proved himself as a high-level play caller in this league.
That's a no shot.
I'm right there with Hoodie. That's a no shot. We're nine games into his tenure as an offensive coordinator, and he had to change on the fly because they can't protect his quarterback. High-level play caller? Stop yourself. He's done a nice job with the moribund roster he was given. That's it.
Now, I'll tell you this, Shay, just to be fair. You tell me if I'm right about this or if I'm wrong about this. We saw in the last game that the Bears played where you saw those special Kmet plays. Okay, that's something we hadn't seen in Chicago if – I don't think in a long time or if ever. I'm not even sure Nagy had those designs for the tight end to put Kmet under center for him to get a 1 yard gain to get the first down. The end around for him to be able to get the football, for him to gain yardage for a first down or at least yardage in that situation. The kind of wrinkles we see with Justin Fields, I think that's part of the play design. I'll give him credit for that. But again, we got to see more than a few games before we can crown him. I think that's fair.
It's also a copycat league. I wanted to, because you mentioned the tight end sneak.
Yeah.
That is kind of a league-wide wrinkle we've started seeing everywhere, and then other coaches are picking up on it. The Chiefs kind of started it with Travis Kelce. But I was watching on Sunday. I had the Bears on screen one, and I had the Patriots on screen two. And right, you couldn't make it up. Right when Kmet motioned in for his tight end sneak, the Patriots had a fourth and one. They motioned Jacoby Myers in for a wide receiver sneak. So at the same time, everybody in the league is running that play. I mean, again, it's copycat league. There's no shame in picking up on what other people are doing.
So I'll say no shot for now because it's early. Can't do it now, man. Can't do it. I do like some of the play design, but no, not yet.
I give him credit for adjusting on the fly on the mini buy to the lack of what we have on the roster.
Yeah.
But no, nine games? High-level play caller? Stop yourself.
Shay.
No shot.
All right, Trey Turner is a free agent and perhaps, in Cap's hopes, a future Chicago Cub. Huh? But Trey Turner sent out a free agent hype video that was narrated by John Hamm, who Cap famously hates. So shot or no shot?
Hold on. I don't use the word hate in my lexicon. I have stricken it to the best of my ability. I'm human. To the best of my ability. I just intensely dislike John Hamm because he's a jerk in the movies. He is.
Jackass.
Every one of his characters, he's a jerk. Richard Jewell, Top Gun Maverick, and he's a Cardinals fan.
He wasn't a jerk in that movie where the $1 million arm or whatever. He was a pretty good guy.
And also a jag in the Progressive commercials.
Yeah,
yes,
terrible.
He is. He's an arrogant jag.
But you don't hate him. Go ahead.
Shot or no shot. John Hamm narrating Trey Turner's free agent video is enough for Cap to be out on Trey Turner.
That's a no shot.
That's a shot. Just say the truth. You have Hamm narrate your stuff. I hate him. Out. Just say it, Cap. I don't like you now.
No, because he's a really good player, and I want him here, and I'll straighten him out when he gets to Chicago.
Richard Jewell. No shot.
This guy, Trey Turner.
Exactly right.
Guy knows how to play ball.
Just say that it is. You don't like him because John Hamm has narrated.
I question his choices of who he has narrated. Uh-huh. I do have other Cubs nuggets for you today. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
get ready.
Good. 10:05.
Boom, boom, machine. Sylvie, get ready.
10:05.
Crank it up.
Yeah, that would be a good time for it. All right, Jay, what else?
Chicago White Sox pitcher Dylan Cease has been named a finalist for the American League Cy Young Award. Now, the World Series is already over, and free agency starts Thursday. This award will not be announced until next week, Wednesday. Shot or no shot?
Oh, man.
Baseball needs to start announcing awards during the playoffs.
That is a shot. That's a shot. Baseball is, I've said this for many years, Cap, it's the I Love Lucy of sports, where it's that you just remember the classics, and they just go back on numbers and yesteryear and the past. In 2022, you've got to be more progressive, man. Understand, get into the bloodstream of the baseball fan. Baseball fans have tuned out now because there's no more games. Don't do it in the post. Yeah, do it while the season's in place. They're so behind the times. There's a lot of things that irk me about baseball. One of them is also the Hall of Fame. Why are you having the Hall of Fame while games are being played? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The Hall of Fame should be during the All-Star break.
Well, the Hall of Fame, if nothing else, 11 a.m. But don't play a game until the Hall of Fame ceremony is over. Then start your games at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Why? I mean, it could be an all-time great Tiger that's going into the Hall of Fame, right? But the Tigers are playing at noon. Well, okay, so now it's a Tiger fan says, do I go to the game or do I watch the Hall of Fame? Do I go to Cooperstown? It's just ridiculous. So the same thing here. Why have these now? No one's thinking about baseball now, Cap. Stop.
Wait, baseball's over.
I mean, do it during the season when it's hot.
Do it during an NFL game. Right on the field. You'll get bigger ratings.
Sure.
Shay.
What else, Shay?
Tom Brady made history again this past weekend in the Bucs win over the Rams. He was the first passer in NFL history to eclipse 100,000 yards for a career. My question, shot or no shot, this record will never be broken.
Well, that's a shot because we're not going to get any more quarterbacks that's going to play until they're, was he 46, 45?
45.
That's enough of that. That won't happen. That'll be the end. No more of that. Because of what you've been telling me for years, Kev, about the nutrition, the way he takes care of his body, all that stuff, right? He's one of one.
Agreed.
We'll never see anything quite like that. I mean, Rodgers trying to be that. Breeze trying to be that. You're never going to get that again.
Agreed. That one is one of one. There's certain records that I don't think will ever be broken. Cal Ripken, whatever the number was, 2632 that he played in a row.
Yeah, let's celebrate him because he came to work every day. What's our number?
No one else. Oh, my God.
Just kidding with that.
Cal Ripken's will never be broken. And the one that is most impossible of any record.
190 RBIs, Hack
nope.
Wilson.
Cy Young, 511 wins. Do you realize if you averaged 25 wins a season for 20 years, you're 11 short?
No one's going to get more than 190 RBIs in a season.
That is almost like he showed up and they go, hey, Cy, how many wins last week? Put me down for six. There's no way.
There are no more horses anymore. I get that. But no one's going to have more than 190 RBIs.
Probably not.
The closest that we saw was...
Sammy had, what, 146, 150?
I think David Ortiz got to 160 one season, but I don't think he closed in on the 190 mark.
We're never going to get that again, Shay. Because guys are not playing every day. And you got to have a hell of a ball club to have a bunch of ducks on the pond.
Yeah.
A lot.
I still think the Cy Young is the most impossible record to break. All-time high season RBIs in our lifetime. Because you had Lou Gehrig got to 185. Hack Wilson's at 191. In our lifetime, Manny Ramirez got to 165.
Pretty good. Good teams, though.
That was 1999.
Well, the other thing is, if you got a hitter good enough to do that...
Sosa 160 in 2001.
This day and age, guys are going to hit too high in the order. I mean, Judge hits second. You got a guy good enough, they're going to hit too high because you want to get more bats.
boy, how many years, how many hours have we wasted on the air about the leadoff hitter?
Right.
How many years?
Got to get a little fast guy out there. Now it's like, no, actually not.
How many hours on the air did we burn on Soriano as a leadoff hitter?
How about Sammy, who had 158 and 98? He's had 2 years, 158 and 160. Insane.
We had a great weekend of college football and the NFL. We will go around the college and the NFL coming up next. Albert Breer at 8:35, all part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come, and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We'll hear from our guy Albert Breer coming up at 8:35 with the latest around the Bears in the National Football League. But right now, we go around football. Cap, there was so much to talk about in college and pro football. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, I want to start with one of the more surprising losses on Sunday. We all kind of expected maybe the Bills wouldn't cover a huge number going into New York, but they'd easily win against the Jets. They lost outright, and now the big story out of Buffalo, Josh Allen might have some UCL damage.
Yeah, he had it in 2018 as well, and I think he missed four games with the ailing elbow. And that was the year. Isn't that the year the Bears went in and pounded Buffalo? They had Nathan Peterman at quarterback.
Yes.
Josh Allen was sitting out. So that's a big problem. If he has to have serious problems with that elbow, like surgical, their season's over.
There's no question. I mean, they've had the momentum. Yes, they lost against a scrappy Jets team, but here come the Vikings, the Browns, and the Lions on November 24th, Cap. So, I mean, obviously, Josh Allen, it's paramount that he stays healthy to keep our ticket alive for the Super Bowl and for the Bills' chances.
That is correct. Not good.
Shay.
All right, so we did mention Jim Irsay's press conference yesterday, but we haven't really mentioned that the Colts got eviscerated in Foxborough, and it led to the firing of Frank Reich. Now they've elevated Saturday to be the head coach of the team interimly, leaving John Fox and Gus Bradley overlooked, shall we say, as actual former NFL head coaches that were on that team.
Well, listen, I think that John Fox and Gus Bradley have a great case, because when you think about the Rooney Rule, you think about those two coaches should have an opportunity. Brother Fox and Brother Bradley deserve the opportunity, Cap, to be able to be. No, and Cap and I have talked off the air about the conjecture that's out there regarding how Jim Irsay did not hire a black coach as interim. You can hire whoever you'd like. There's still a problem in this league, not only in college but also pros, as far as just the hiring process. It's not about getting the job, it's about getting in the door. That's why Rooney Rule was put in place, to have an interview, just to be able to be front-facing with general managers and owners. And so with this situation, I saw it out there. You know, if you hire someone without, without experience, why didn't they hire Reggie Wayne? Jim Irsay is clearly closer to Saturday. I get it. I totally understand it. But yes, we are so far behind in a lot of sports as far as getting minority candidates to the door, let alone hiring them.
Yeah, I have no issue that they hired Jeff Saturday on an interim basis. If you told me they gave him a 5-year deal at $25 million, wow, really? Never coached anywhere except a high school team? But that team's going nowhere. It's probably going to have a GM change. All of a sudden, Chris Ballard doesn't look so smart. And if you want to give Jeff Saturday this runway to see what he can do, I have no problem with it. He was a consultant for the franchise anyway on the side, along with his ESPN work. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to open the job up, you better go through the proper steps and interview the proper candidates and see who's the best fit for the job. But in the end, it's his team, man.
There's no question. So think about this, Shay. It just shows you how important the quarterback position is. The Colts have been reeling since Andrew Luck left the sport after the Bears took him out. The Bears retired Andrew Luck. You do recall this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we took him out. He's like, I don't want to play here anymore. He was out of here.
We also knocked out Favre. Wasn't that Corey Wooten?
It was.
Slammed him down on the Metro. No, it was the outdoor stadium they were playing while they were building their new place. Smashed his head on the University of Minnesota TCF Bank Stadium, I think it was.
So, and so Shay, do I have this right? So they've asked, they had Philip Rivers.
They had Philip Rivers. They had Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
They had Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
They now had Matt Ryan. Sam Ellinger's in there.
Hasn't worked. They've tried. It just hasn't worked.
Correct. They've thrown money and picks at the problem, and it hasn't worked.
Correct. They haven't really invested. They haven't gone up in the first round and gotten a quarterback since Luck. So they haven't really invested in the position. They've just kind of tried to pull off the scrap heap and invest money for one-year deals and see what they can do. It hasn't worked out. So maybe that's where Ballard screwed the you-know-what.
The pooch?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's get to the collegiate side of things.
Keep it clean, Shay.
Let's get to the collegiate side of things because there were some upsets on the board. The biggest, of course, was Michigan State over Illinois. No, LSU took down Alabama.
I'm here with my family.
Damn right, Brian.
All right, get out of here, Kelly.
And Notre Dame knocked out Cap's boy Dabo.
Yeah, I almost puked. Notre Dame.
And they beat my favorite coach, too.
Oh.
That sucked.
Oh, it's too bad. Which one do you want to go to first? Want to talk about how somehow Clemson still doesn't have a quarterback in place? Uiagalelei, he's supposed to be the guy. This is what your coach said. He's going to be our starter. Moving forward, he's going to be our guy. Pulled. Didn't work out, Cap. Go ahead.
Look, Notre Dame, give them credit. They played great. They won the game.
Played unbelievable.
They did.
Yeah.
I watched some of it. Yeah. No doubt about it. They earned that victory. It was not a fluke. That was an ass-kicking in South Bend.
Again, if you don't have the quarterback right, you don't know where you're going. So the other games that you mentioned was Alabama. So Alabama, two-loss Alabama. So what's the formula to get them into the Final
Four?
Are you sure there's a formula?
They're dead on arrival, man.
LSU's probably going to be playing in Atlanta.
LSU actually has a better chance of getting into the playoff than Alabama because LSU can win the SEC.
What date is the national championship playoff?
I believe that the committee will find a way to get a two-loss Alabama
team. No shot. What is that?
If they're going to put a two-loss team in there, it's going to be Alabama. But I just don't see how they can do it.
Yeah, whatever that date is, Abdallah's available.
The point is that I can't wait to face LSU in the SEC title game. Boy, you talk about a bye. Right into the Final Four. Thank you very much. Alabama to the side.
Careful.
Oh, stop.
Be careful.
Stop.
Isn't this what we thought Georgia was, though? It's like there is a clear drop-off between Georgia and everybody else. That's what we thought after that Oregon game.
I watched that game like Charlie the other day. The Tennessee game, I flipped off because I was playing the Breeders' Cup.
Sure.
But I watched the start of it and went, that thing's over.
Yeah.
Over.
That defense was stout, Shay. Stout. Now, here's the difference between Alabama and Tennessee. And when Alabama and Tennessee played, all that offense was scored, right? It's amazing. We won the national championship, Georgia, and I still don't believe Stetson Bennett 100%. Like, I think he's good, but not great. I think he can make some plays, but not necessarily get into the 40 scoring-wise. So it's all about defense. That's the only thing that's going to be able to hold up Georgia, I believe, moving forward. Their defense. No question about it. But I felt good. People are asking me, aren't you concerned about Tennessee? Sloppy top? Ooh, Tennessee.
Who do you play this week?
Doesn't matter. Point is, though, is that we are able to get the job done. We will run the table, Cap, moving forward.
Really? Again?
Sure. Why not?
Why not at this point? Georgia, to me, Georgia proved they're one of one when they went out and just blasted Tennessee.
Two words, Jalen Carter. Holy cow.
And I won't turn the page on Saban the way that Finebaum is done. He says, like, the era's over. Hold on a second. It's not over. I like to see Georgia win another championship. If that happens, if we win the national championship again, now it's our era. For sure.
Here's Georgia's schedule. Saturday night, I'll be watching it at Mississippi State against Mike Leach. Did you see what he did Saturday?
I sent you the film.
Yep. He took all the chairs on the sideline, folded them up, and said, you're not worthy of sitting down. The way they were playing.
Unbelievable.
So you're at Mississippi State. And then at Kentucky.
Bye.
And then home against Georgia Tech.
We're fine. Thank you.
You're undefeated.
Yep. Rolling through, pal.
Take that.
How about that? You
Alabama.
Love that, Shay. Shay loves it, too.
If Kirby wins the second straight.
It's our era.
Yes.
Without question.
Yes.
Is that fair, Shay? Fair?
Sure. Of course that's fair.
Two in a row?
If you win two in a row, yeah, you stole, and Bama's two losses. You know, we all should have listened to Saban early in the year, and he always does this, so you never do listen. But before the season started, Saban came out and said, this is a real rebuilding team. I don't have a very good team in place. And we don't listen because it's Alabama and it's Saban. We should have listened. This team is not good, Alabama, and they're handing the torch to Georgia right now.
Coming up, Albert Breer, his thoughts about the Bears in the NFL. It is right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it? Every Tuesday at 8:35, we hear from our guy Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. He joins us on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Albert. How are you?
Hey, Hoodie, what's happening?
What's up, AB?
You know what's happening.
Hey, Cap.
It's amazing the moral victories that are happening here in Chicago after that victory for the Dolphins against the Bears, 35-32.
Everybody have a little bit of a different take on Justin Fields now than maybe a few weeks ago.
I'm sure you had some Ohio State vibes watching how well he was able to get the ball down the field, right?
I mean, I I've said this to you guys a bunch, right? Like, I just, there's so many things that go into playing that position well, right? And there are different ways that you can play that position well now. And I think there are very specific things that Justin needed a lot of work on coming into the pros. Throwing with anticipation, you know, how fast he saw the field. And, you know, I can remember talking to his coaches at Ohio State who would say he just needs to play. He hasn't seen enough yet, and he just needs to kind of build that bank up of seeing things. He just needs reps. And they weren't saying that he had to stay in school because no one's going to tell a kid who's got a chance to be a top half of the first round pick to go back to school and pass up the millions, but he just needed that experience and time on task. And, you know, I just think there's so many good things to bet on there with him, you know, like, and that's what I thought when he was coming out was the makeup of the kid, how tough he is, his leadership, his athleticism, his arm, his natural accuracy. So, like, your question is, can he bring that all together? And that is a little bit of a projection, right? And some of that's going to have to do with how he's coached, what he's asked to do. But, you know, I think you're starting to see Luke Getsy, to his credit, figure out how to use him and figure out, you know, what's best as far as, you know, getting him going. And I think we've seen it in the past, like, where – a quarterback's athleticism and playmaking ability can buy him time to develop. It's exactly what happened with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. And I think now you've got a real chance to see that happen in Chicago with, I think, a guy who is significantly more talented than Hurts is.
So let's talk about the sustainability of what we're watching, because you still can't drop him today straight back, survey the landscape and go read one, read two. I'm going back over there because you can't protect him well enough. And despite everyone here thinking that Jerry Rice is named Chase Claypool, we don't have a number one receiver. So how sustainable is what they're doing, not only for the rest of this year, but for the next 5 years?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is, you know, like, is his health, right? Like, so I think he had 14 carries on Sunday, is that right? Something like that?
I'll look it up.
But, you know, I can remember talking to the guys who were in Washington with Robert Griffin 10 years ago about this, and Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and all those guys. And what they would always say is a quarterback is actually less susceptible to big hits on designed runs than he is in scramble situations or in the pocket. And basically what they meant is, like, if you're designing a run and the quarterback knows where he's going and knows what's around him, he's going to have a much better chance to protect himself than he is if he's just breaking the pocket and running through the defense. Because, you know, in that case, it's sort of, it's a much less controlled situation. And so I think that's number one is, you know, making sure that you're judicious about the way that you run them, right? And making sure you're coaching that into them, like, to live another day, you know, on some of the runs. You know, the second piece of it is, you know, like, how long can you do this for schematically? You know, and I think the truth is like, you know, again, you use this to sort of develop your offense around your quarterback. And I think, you know, Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen and those guys in Philly have done a great job of that with Hurts. And, you know, what you've seen with Hurts is he's now developing in areas where quarterbacks generally don't see a lot of development because they've done such a good job with him. And so, you know, I think it's, you know, like on Luke Getsy now to kind of keep the offense moving, you know, and keep ahead of the posse because everybody's going to get the tape on it now. Everybody's going to see what the Bears are doing. It's not going to be a surprise 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. So it's on the coaches to sort of keep it moving. And I don't think this is the way you're going to play him, you know, 3 or 4 years from now if he succeeds and if he is who you want him to be. But like I said, this effectively can buy him time to develop. And, you know, like you look at the two best quarterbacks in the league right now, probably are Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Those guys, their playmaking ability absolutely bought them time to develop. Both those guys came in very, very raw, and their ability to make plays off schedule and kind of keep the team in games with their legs, you know, doing things outside of the pocket, like that bought them time to grow as quarterbacks. And now you're seeing what the finished product looks like.
What do you think from Miami's standpoint? You know, Mike McDaniel says that Tua is the best spinner of the football that he's ever seen. He made that comment before the season. And so there's weapons now with the Dolphins. What stands out most about that team and their sustainability?
Well, there are two things I like about it. What do you like? Number one, I like how they've built that offense for Tua. You know, and we just talked about that with Justin. Well, if you go back and you watch Tua at Alabama, what made him outstanding at Alabama was how he was always playing in rhythm. He was always on schedule, you know, and you could see how fast and instinctive he played. And that wasn't his game his first 2 years because they'd cycled through play callers and it was a mess, you know. And, you know, so the Dolphins made the conscious decision, we're going to invest around him and we're going to try to do our best to create a situation that's like the one he was at in Alabama where we can get him playing fast and instinctively. And, you know, he doesn't have to sit back there in the pocket for 3 seconds and think. Because that's where I think you get yourself in trouble with a guy who is shorter, who doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, right? And so, you know, I think you've seen that where they're allowing him to be the point guard, the distributor a little bit better, which is great. And then the second thing I really like about where the Dolphins are is they've really identified their core now, and their core is built on players at premium positions. It's Tron Armstead at left tackle. It's Hill and Waddle at receiver. It's now Bradley Chubb coming in as their edge rusher. It's Xavien Howard at corner. And, you know, like you look at like where the Colts got themselves in trouble, for example, you know, since they're in the news this week, they've got like a lot of really good players in their team, but their best players seem to play non-premium positions, right? Like, Shaq Leonard is an off-ball linebacker, and Quentin Nelson's a guard, and Jonathan Taylor's a running back. If you look at where the Dolphins' investment is, it's very much at those premium positions, which is how the Rams won a Super Bowl 9 months ago.
All right, I have a question for Albert when we come back. Jeff Saturday gets a coaching job. Some in the profession have no problem with it. Others, they're a little angry. We'll be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Go to SI.com. Go to Monday Morning Quarterback. You'll find Albert Breer and his thoughts about the National Football League. Cap, I know that we talked earlier this morning about the owner for the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay.
Yeah, so Albert, Jim Irsay's up there. Obviously, Chris Ballard's in trouble. and said that I hired Jeff Saturday, and we're in the upper, what did he call it?
The upper quartile, upper quartile.
But then he said the upper quartile of the upper quartile, which...
Not true.
I would just that me be in the top two, right? Because, like, a quartile of 32 would be 8, and then the upper quartile of the upper quartile would be 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. I'm not
great at math, but I think I have that right.
Yeah, the upper quartile would then be 4, yes. And you'd be in the upper quartile of that 4.
So unless the Indianapolis...
No. The upper quartile of the 32
is
teams
8.
Would be 8. Okay. And then the upper quartile of that, of the 8, would be 2. Right.
And they're 4th.
Yeah, so unless you are the Steelers or the Patriots, you're not in the upper quartile of the upper quartile.
Right, they're in the upper octile of the league, I guess, yes! Right? Would that be right?
Upper octile, yes.
Yes. So I have no problem that they hired Jeff Saturday on an interim basis. He's been a consultant for the team. He's a member of their history, and he's a great player, good analyst. Do you have a problem with it?
I mean, I don't know. I always think, like, these interim coaches, you're sort of like... in most cases walking the green mile anyway, you know what I mean? Like, so if they put Gus Bradley or John Fox in that role, does it really make a difference? Probably not. Like, you know, I don't think anybody thinks Steve Wilks is going to be the next coach of the Panthers, for example. So like, I don't the only impact this really has is if he, like, out of it comes out of nowhere and kills it. You know what I mean? Like the way, like, Deion Sanders came, like, off of TV and killed it at Jackson State, right? Like, so, like, I think that's the only way it really affects all that much. Now, I will say that it does make some sense to me in that, look, like, I've heard that, like, Jim Irsay is enamored with him, with Jeff Saturday, and Saturday was around training camp a bunch this summer. And I heard that you know, like the Ring of Honor ceremony for Tariq Glenn, which they had, I believe it was on the 30th, so it would have been like 9 days ago now. Like that had like Irsay met with a bunch of those guys from that era of Colts about the future of the franchise. So, like, if you want to, like, get a look at what Jeff Saturday might look like as a head coach, then maybe this does make sense, you know, because you're not having to make, like, the commitment to, yes, he's going to be my head coach. You're getting to kind of take it out for a test drive and see how it works. Now, I think the flip side and the problem here is if you're one of the guys in that staff, how do you receive that? You know what I mean? Like, because you guys know as well as I do, every one of the guys in that staff, like, you know, your career is in flux now. You don't know where you're going to be, where your family's going to be 4 months from now. And so, like, if a guy who doesn't have any coaching experience is coming in and telling you the dozen things you're doing wrong, and, you know, he doesn't know how to work the buttons on his headset yet, then I can see where, like, that could be problematic. So I think it's a thorny situation for Jeff Saturday to be walking into. But, you know, I can see why Jim Irsay may think, like, this is the right way to do it and taking the car for a test drive before you buy it.
What's in your phone? Can you give us something that you haven't told anyone?
Yeah, I mean, and I always hate talking about Jim Harbaugh because, like, everybody thinks that I've got bias and everything else. And maybe, like, on November 26th, I will.
right.
But I mean, like, that's one name that was, like, raised to me by a couple people in connection to the Colts yesterday. I'll be interested to see if the league has sort of changed its stance on him. Like, because, like, last year when he went after that Minnesota job, it just sort of felt like the league had soured on him. But you look at his record in San Francisco, and obviously, like, now what he's done at Michigan, where it looks like he's got the same identity there, built the same identity there that he had in San Francisco that he had at Stanford. You know, I think Jim Harbaugh will want to get back to the NFL, you know, whether it's now or a few years from now, whatever it is. And he's not getting any younger. And so I think it's going to be interesting to me, and it's interesting to people, too, you know, working in these circles, where Jim Harbaugh stands as far as the next, you know, coaching hiring cycle goes. And obviously you guys are out of that market now, but I know everybody there is very, very familiar with them.
Have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see where everything heads. All we know is We got a QB1. He lives in Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah, and if you'd listened to me, you would have known that all along.
Oh, we did, man. We were with you. You're the best.
Hey, I'm telling you guys, though, like, if you look at that class now, like, what order would they go in if they were redrafted?
Well, that's a great question.
I think Justin
Trevor's
goes
number one.
Justin goes
Justin's,
two.
Justin's two, right?
Yeah.
So
they better send Ryan Pace a thank you card.
I hate to say I was right, but here we are.
There you go. They better send Ryan Pace a thank you note. Thank you. Still get out, but thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It is Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback with us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000. Bulls beat the Raptors yesterday 111-97. We're just bringing it up because the Bulls won't be playing for a while.
No, they play tomorrow.
They play?
New Orleans.
And then Denver on Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay.
They get a few days off because last week they went Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. So they play again tomorrow. Then they get Thursday, Friday, Saturday off.
You know the best part of the Bulls game last night, and you watched it because while I was doing UIC, is that the Bulls had LaVine with 30 points.
Yep.
And DeRozan had 9, and you still did a good job against Toronto. That says a lot. The others picked up the slack.
You know why? What do I scream at you that they have to do? Get the ball in the paint.
Yep.
And kick it back out. Paint touches are such a huge thing. The best way to a good perimeter look is through the interior, not the little short corner pass, because defenders can fly out at you. 56 points in the paint last night. 56. Vooch was outstanding. 15 points and, what do you have, 13 rebounds?
Yeah. Yep, 15, 13.
15 and 13 out of him. You had a really nice game out of Patrick Williams.
10 points.
Paul had 7 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trending in the right direction. It's not there yet. Obviously, he's 21. 73 days past his 21st birthday. Relax.
All right. So, again, the Bulls beat the Toronto Raptors. That's a good sign for the Bulls' victory against the Raptors. All right. The Bears found a quarterback. How has Justin Fields changed the outlook for the team? We'll talk about that in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.